these couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And this week, we're going to do our best to be funny people trying to not have our bodies collected and searching for the aliens in the attic.
Wow. This has been a while since you've done that, and let me just say you completely failed on the trying to be funny
people. I really feel... I got to get warmed up again.
You do.
That's fair. I got to get warmed up. Got to get back into my rhythm. And but needless to say, we are reviewing Funny People from Judd Apatow, The Collector, and Aliens in the Attic, which is about aliens in the attic.
In the attic. There you go.
Get it? Anyway, but before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of the Fat Guys of the Movies. You can go to www.fatguysofthemovies.com, and you can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys of the Movies, and we pop right up. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And also, you can get us on Twitter separately. Twitter name is twitter.com/rejects, R-E-J-E-C-T-S, I think. And Kevin's Twitter is twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Very unique and special. And please, yeah, come on and friend me, because somehow Twitter is like dropping people and
Kevin
adding
really,
people.
Kevin really, his life is only has meaning if he has a lot of Twitter followers.
I don't care. You can be a spam account. I don't care. Just I want the followers. I mean, I got the wackiest spam accounts on there. I sometimes, actually what's fun, go and look who I'm following, and you'll be like, this guy's a freak.
Do you follow a lot of porn stars? I find that that's pretty easy to do.
No, I don't follow. What happens is, like, I have a foot fetish site that followed me because I mentioned a foot fetish thing in a...
I made a comment. A foot fetish?
No, I mentioned... I used the term foot fetish in a tweet about a movie. No, it was about... On Facebook, there's a thing that says, fan of being barefoot. Have you seen that on Facebook? Because I know people that have done that. And I clicked through it just to see what it was. And I'm just like, these are just pictures of people's feet. What's different than this than a regular foot fetish site? And then suddenly a foot fetish thing starts following me. And I'm like, well, cool. And I mentioned something, and I have Penthouse following me for some reason.
Nice.
I have no idea why.
That's so, because you talk about ladies' breasts a lot.
I talk about a lot of things on Twitter. I if you follow me on Twitter, be prepared to be offended. So
I don't know. You're not as offended.
No, I'm not that offensive, but I'm random. I'm very random.
Fair enough.
But
speaking of random,
we got an email this week.
Oh, we did. That's right.
Yes, we got one from Jeff.
This one was good. No,
Jeff from Sierra Madre.
Please read this.
I'm not going to read. I'll just summarize it. It's kind of long. But he basically he asked if I was getting old because apparently
I took
he
you to
that,
town last week.
Yeah, you got the best of me. I don't personally remember that.
I do. I
but
remember just
Jeff,
whooping you.
What did you whoop
awesome,
me on?
In awesomeness. My awesomeness is greater than yours. My Schwartz is bigger than yours.
I don't know about that.
I think that's true. That's the truth.
I don't think it's true at all. I think your Schwartz is all crooked and weird. But I'm awesome.
I don't think that's true.
Anyways, but Jeff told me that I need to lay the smack down on you this week. But thanks for writing in, Jeff.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, well, you know, he suggested, and I think it's true, I was going easy on you because you hadn't been arrested in Pahrump, Nevada yet, but it was an early, but that's why it was. We did it early in the week.
Right. So, you weren't ready for it.
No,
you weren't ready for the awesome that I was going to bring.
Okay. I guess you brought some awesome. There must have been a little bit of awesome left over that you could take it home with a doggy bag.
Right.
Speaking of awesome, should we go?
Speaking of awesome, let's talk about these movies.
All right. We're lumping in. We may bump the second one into the next segment.
I guess. Is there really anything to say about this first one?
Aliens in the Attic. On a family vacation, a group of kids discover tiny aliens in their attic and have to thwart them from taking over the world.
There's the pool. See ya.
The Pearsons were on the ultimate family vacation.
Well, surprise, surprise, princess.
What are you doing here?
Ricky!
Hey! Lou, what's up with the car?
Lame.
But there's one little problem. Someone else checked in first.
Hello, humans.
Please tell me you see that too.
We come in pieces.
Peace.
We come in pieces. Attack the humans!
All right, so I guess there was something to say about it.
You know what we can say about it? They didn't screen it for us, which tends to be... This is a national trend, because I don't think they're screening... They didn't screen this anywhere. I don't think. Do we you know, have people who saw it?
No, I don't know anyone who saw this movie. But here's the deal with this film. Mm. I didn't even know it was coming out. I don't even know what it is. And
it's
you know what?
In the attic.
People who've listened to the show and who read filmschoolrejects.com know that I follow stuff like this. It's like what I do.
Yeah.
So for me to never have heard of this movie until this week, that's a problem.
Yeah. You've even heard of Band Slam, and that's not
your
kind
of movie. I'm all over Band Slam.
What's really funny is if you go to Flickster, like on your iPhone, and you click through Aliens in the Attic, it'll like link to these pictures of Ashley Tisdale, because she's in it. And she's like in her 20s, so I mean, it's not like she's like 15 or anything like that.
Right, you don't feel bad looking at pictures of Ashley Tisdale, is what you're saying.
Well, no, but it's like all these like sort of cute pictures of Ashley Tisdale, mm-hmm. and then like a picture of an alien. It's like this photo shoot of her like with like a dozen pictures.
And like one alien?
And one alien.
I'm going to have to like check out the trailer for this movie, and then not
cute.
Go see it.
I'm going to take my kids, but I got to give it a preemptive suck. They didn't screen it for us.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously, whatever studio made this movie.
Take that, Fox.
Oh, it's a Fox? So, no, that explains it. Yeah.
Let's move on to The Collector. We'll knock this out real quick.
Yeah, no, I've got good things to say about The Collector.
All right. A man trying to rob a house stumbles onto a mysterious figure doing all sorts of nefarious things.
All right, so I didn't see this because
I don't think you could make it through this movie.
I'm a pansy, and it's probably a good thing that I didn't see this because
there's not enough depends in the world for you to make it through this movie.
Film School Rejects editor Dr. Cola Bias saw it. Mm-hmm. They screened it here at the Alamo Draft House because it's like an opening, and they had the director and whatnot were here, and they he said it's very, very scary, like one of the better horror films he's seen all year. It's very lean, very mean, very quite literally, there's only two lines of dialogue in the entire third reel of the movie. It's all just people getting killed or people trying to silently escape. Because essentially, it's just this dude.
Are there any aliens in the attic in this
movie? No, I don't believe there's any aliens in the attic. But he said it's quite scary.
Okay.
And I mean, and a lot of the horror sites that I've noticed, a lot of the sites like Bloody Disgusting and Shock to Your Drop and Dread Central, sites that... you know, are the experts in our field in horror films are all like really behind this movie. Like they say it is like the best horror film you're going to see all year. And while we can't verify that, that says something that they're all saying that, you know, everyone who's seen it has been like, oh no, it's really awesome.
Yeah. They're not screening it widely. I had a chance to see it, but it was conflicting with another screening and I would have had to go out of town. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they are screening it, but it's limited. I don't think it's necessarily because they're afraid of reviews. Mm-hmm. It's a smaller studio, and they don't have the budget to do all the screenings and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I say, you know, if you like horror movies, it sounds like The Collector is going to be worth at least a look. So
I'm going to give it a shot.
Hey, I might probably not give it a shot, but...
I'm pretty sure you won't.
Yeah, definitely not. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and I just, while we were at break, watched the Aliens in the Attic trailer. I know the timing doesn't line up.
You're a little bit behind. You're behind this week on doing things.
But it actually looks kind of fun, and I can assure you right now, based on the trailer, that it's better than Meet Dave from last year.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's
good
better
job,
than
Fox.
Dave.
You one-upped yourself.
Nice.
But it actually, I mean, it, I don't know. It kind of reminded me of, what was that, what was that movie with the...
Grandma's Boy.
Toy Soldiers?
Oh, Small Soldiers?
Small Soldiers. Kind of had a Small Soldiers vibe to it.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see where you're saying that.
I mean, but obviously it's not going to be as awesome as Small Soldiers because that movie blew up an entire house at the end of the movie.
okay.
Movie rocks.
And it also had Phil Hartman before he died, didn't it?
Yeah, it had Phil. It was like Phil Hartman's last movie. Wow. So obviously,
Do you ever notice that when somebody like, and I'm, this is a little bit of a diss on Small Soldiers because it was good, but it wasn't awesome. Ever notice that people usually their last movie, it's very rare for somebody to do the Heath Ledger thing where the last movie you did, is.
Well, that's not even true with Heath Ledger. The last movie he did was Dr. Parnassus.
Well, but he didn't complete it. But, you know, I mean, like, sort of like, he pretty much finished.
Yeah, it's hard to go out with a bang.
Yeah, most people,
it's really hard in Hollywood to predict when you're going to overdose on pills.
Yeah, I mean, very few people
die. Or have a heart attack.
It's like you got Heath Ledger and James Dean, and, like, that's it. Everybody else, like, they're like, they could be this Oscar winner, and they could have had, you know, $2 billion in box office, but they're like, and their last film, Booger and the Man, you know? You're just like, wow. Isn't that a shame? You know, I think Estelle Getty's last film was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Awesome.
Of course, it took her like 20 years to die after that movie, but oh well.
Oh wow.
I've just alienated our entire Estelle Getty fans.
Yeah, Estelle Getty fans no longer listening to us. Sorry to see all three of you go.
Yes. Should we now move over? Well, that's half our audience. Should we now move over?
Oh, man.
Ooh. It's just like
my mom, my girlfriend, and that dude that really hates Dr. Cola Bias and refuses to listen to Reject Radio.
He does.
Like,
man.
Those are our
only
three listeners left.
He's my man. He's there for me, and he is just hating on Dr. Cola Bias.
I know.
So
anyway. Yeah. What are we talking about now? Shouldn't we be talking about another movie?
Yeah, I think there's another movie that comes out. Funny People.
Oh, right. That movie.
Yeah.
I saw that.
You want me to do the intro for the trailer?
Yeah, dude. Go for it.
Adam Sandler plays Adam Sandler, who comes down with a rare form of leukemia, gets a new assistant, and tries to fix his life.
Hey, George Simmons, you destroyed, man.
You the guy who was on after me?
Maybe you can write me some jokes.
I've been going to this guy's movie since the moment I can remember. This is amazing, guys.
I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to get all weird on me. I'm dying.
It's too early to know who's winning the fight, the medicine or the disease.
Did anybody ever tell you you have a very scary accent?
You are a very funny man. I enjoy your movies.
And I enjoy all of your movies.
Which movies?
The ones where you try to kill Bruce Willis.
You want to start with this one?
This one is a movie.
Before you start, I'm going to let you do your review first, but I'm going to rant about something here.
No, go ahead and rant, man.
I'm ranting. If you notice in the trailers, they're like, the third film from Judd Apatow. And I get it. This is the third film he's directed. But when you when you basically have done enough movies as a producer and a writer that people will say a Judd Apatow-style film, you can't go around claiming this is your third film.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It should be more like the third film that Judd Apatow actually directed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people are watching it going, Judd Apatow, didn't he do like 8,000 films last year? I mean, there's movies that like people don't even remember him for that he did. Stuff like he was involved in You Don't Mess with the Zohan, and he was involved with Drillbit Taylor. I mean, these are the things that, you know, he is so known now, and then it's like it's his third directing film. They did the same thing with Quentin Tarantino when he did Kill Bill. They're like the fourth film, well, the fourth and fifth film of Quentin Tarantino is
right.
How they kept hyping that, which I think is a stupid thing to hype.
Anyway,
take that, Hollywood.
Yeah, seriously. So it might be the third film from director Judd Apatow, but it's not by any means the third film that he's put his fingers in.
Ooh, that's just gross.
I know. But here's the deal. And it feels... It's funny that it works in threes because it feels like three completely separate films to me.
Funny
People feels like three completely separate films.
I'll give you
all
that.
All wrapped into one. It's the first third of the film is probably the best storytelling that I think Judd Apatow has done. And we're just talking about raw storytelling, not comedy bits, not comedy gags, just... Yeah. Telling a story, you know, getting you engaged in character. The second third of the film really becomes kind of like this, like buddy movie.
Yeah,
where it's about, you know, the characters Seth Rogen and Adam Sandler play, and kind of their back and forth and dealing with this disease and it has a little bit of heart in there, but it's really just kind of this buddy movie. And a lot of the funniest parts of the movie are in that second third.
Yeah,
and then the last third becomes kind of this movie. it just kind of comes unraveled to me a little bit, mm-hmm. it becomes something completely different, mm-hmm. and it's a good film. It's a funny film. Like, it's worth going to see on a basic level, in which it will make you laugh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, it does come with its problems. I think it lingers a little too long, and the ending it gets a little bit.
Well, it runs like 2 hours and 20 minutes, so it is
runs
long.
2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a big movie, and it really, a lot of people are going to see it in a lot of different ways. Some people will see it as more of a drama.
Well, this is the thing. I
includes comedy.
It was based, you know? It's not really a comedy. It's a drama with a lot of funny lines in it. It's probably a better way.
Right. It is a drama with some funny people in it.
And it has some very, very funny lines, but it's not a comedy. I mean, like, Knocked Up, the premise of Knocked Up was funny, and it was mm-hmm. and the premise of 40-Year-Old Virgin was funny. You had this situational thing, and then you had all this wackiness happening around it.
The premise of this movie is
cancer.
Sad. Yeah. I mean, it's a sad movie.
It's about as funny as you can make cancer.
It is about as funny as you can make cancer, mm-hmm. unless you're making jokes about Angelina Jolie on public radio. Ooh. That's right. We all remember that one. Anyway, I will say this. Probably one of Adam Sandler's best performances, like range of performance. Like, he actually has more to this performance than what we've seen from him in the past. And he's tried. Mm. Like, he was good in Punch Drunk Love. He tried to do the same thing in Click, but it just didn't work.
Well,
awful.
Here's the thing with Adam Sandler's turning into drama. There's such a gap between he have his wacky comedies and then his dramas. And like Punch Drunk Love was, I'm not a big fan of things where it's so obviously the person saying, I'm going to do a drama now. You know, and it's this mm-hmm. XYZ comedian's drama piece. And it was so obvious to be that. And then like Rain Over Me or Rain On Me or Puke
Rain
On Me or whatever that was.
Which I enjoyed Rain Over Me.
It was okay.
It wasn't a terrible movie.
But it was so like basically like, I need to act now and this is me acting. It's sort of like when they did movies like Flight Plan with Jodie Foster and when she did that with The Brave One, and you had like Angelina Jolie and A Mighty Heart, where it's just so obvious, this is my attempt to act seriously, take me seriously, people. And
yeah. This really feels like it's more of just an honest performance from Adam Sandler.
That's true. Well, see, for me, it's sort of like, one thing, overall, I liked the movie. I didn't dislike the movie, but I you're right. I think there's some serious problems with it in terms of pacing. And it's also not a typical movie in the sense that when you go see a movie, you expect this kind of beginning, middle, and end, and the characters to do certain things. This mm-hmm. is more sort of like a Jim Jarmusch film with lots of cameos.
Where it's very flat.
Yeah, where did you sort of like let things happen? And I don't know if that's the best choice. I think it could have been a much better film. I think part of it is being this third film of Judd Apatow, his ego is all over this movie.
The same problems that you see with any director making a very personal movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very personal movie for him. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of elements that he's not just trying to entertain you.
He's
not just trying to make you laugh. He's trying to say something, and he's trying to draw parallels with his own life. And you know, he and Adam Sandler were college roommates, so like there's a lot of very personal stuff in this movie, and it's, you know, it, which brings it closer to real life, which is boring.
First of all, it presents celebrities a little too honestly, because celebrities are just normal people with more money and bigger egos, and it presents them that way, and it's very honest. But I'm like everybody's kind of an idiot or a jerk in this movie. And right. I didn't even, oh, you're dying of cancer. Wabu hoo, I'm having sex with hot women. Oh my gosh, I'm so, I'm rich. Isn't this terrible? You know, that. And the other thing with Judd Apatow that bothered me is it became braggadocious at a certain point, because it was almost like he was like, let me prove to everybody how many famous people I know. I'm going to put this guy in the movie. I'm going to put this guy in the movie. And the cameos just got ridiculous after a while, where I was just like, okay, I get it. You know a lot of comedians. Oh, you know Norm MacDonald. Okay. You know Ray Romano. Great. Thank you.
You know Eminem.
Yeah, and then he puts his daughters in the movie, and they're adorable.
His daughters are cute.
They're adorable, but there's this one scene that is just basically an acting singing reel for one of his daughters. And I'm like, okay, this is getting a bit much. You know?
Right. And you know, I mean, that's part of the problem sometimes.
Yeah, we got to go to a break.
We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. the hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. What we didn't do on the last segment.
We don't do a lot of things, let's be fair.
We did not act professional.
Eh.
We did not act respectful.
Meh.
And we were not wearing pants.
Oh, nice.
So we also didn't rank the movie.
Wearing pants is acceptable, though, I feel.
I love not wearing pants. In fact, I think I'm going to make a... Since they have the whole fan of being barefoot on Facebook, I'm going to have a fan of not wearing pants.
Fan of not wearing pants. I will sign up for that.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So. All right.
What do you want to rank funny people?
Oh, yeah. Kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks. It's funny. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It's worth going to see once.
Hmm.
That's
although funny. it is one of those movies that you literally could walk out, go get a sandwich, come back in 15 minutes, and you really haven't missed much.
Right. You know that iPhone application they have now? It's like Pee Break or whatever, where it tells you where you go to the bathroom in a movie.
It's really cool.
Yeah. It like tells you like the moment where if you go to the bathroom and come back in like 2 minutes that you won't miss anything.
That's
like,
awesome. Well,
it could be like for funny people, it'd be like there'd be like 17 of them.
Well,
there are 17 different moments where you could probably go to the bathroom but not miss much.
That wouldn't work for us, though, because we see the movies early usually, you know.
Right. They don't usually update it. Although we could get a job with them. We're pretty good at knowing when to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's a funny story about going to the bathroom. There's a friend of mine, when I saw Star Wars The Revenge of the Sith, a friend of mine, we were at a press screening, and I'd already seen it like 2 weeks beforehand at an early press screening, so I went and saw it again. And he says to me, he's like, I don't want to miss anything good. And I'm like, that movie was actually packed pretty full of pertinent stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of fat in that movie, at least in my opinion. But I said to him, I go, whenever you see Natalie Portman, you can go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he waited until the very last time you saw her, right before all the cool stuff happened. And he leaves. And I'm like, you had like six scenes beforehand where she's whining to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you chose to do the last one. So
yeah.
He missed the whole him turning into Darth Vader thing.
Gotcha.
So, balls to him.
It happens. Yeah. What are we talking about now?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We already ranked him. We just sort of zoned there. I think we're going to talk about box office, aren't we?
We totally suck.
Let's talk about box office.
Sure, man.
I win.
What happened last week?
G-Force 1, which I predicted. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It happens.
G-Force 1. I told you, I saw the movie, and I'm like, this thing is going to go mad business with kids.
Right.
And it did. You can now, you must now bow down before me.
I call you the Lord of the Box Office this
week?
That's
right, man.
I must submit to the Lord of the Box Office?
Submit, baby.
It's like when you play Settlers of Catan, people have to bow down to the Lord of Catan.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. That's right, Kevin Carr.
All right. Anywho. Orphan did not do as poorly as we thought.
It made like $13 million. That's not too
which
bad.
Is
finished
fourth. Not bad for yeah. It's still not a good movie.
Harry Potter's still doing okay.
Harry Potter did okay. It had a huge. Everyone's like, oh, it dropped huge. But I'm like, it's still doing great business. You know,
and it still made $220 million in its first 2 weeks. Get over it, people.
Yeah, and The Ugly Truth did better than people thought.
Yeah, well, you know, Gerard Butler is becoming a big draw. People know that dude's got abs.
That's my theory, is that it was Gerard Butler and Katherine Heigl equal draw, if not more Gerard Butler for the babes
in
the audience.
Totally. So,
like your mom. Did your mom go see it?
I don't know if she went to see it yet, but she's planning on it.
She should. I found our Gerard Butler. My Neil's mom loves Gerard Butler shirt.
Nice.
I was going to wear that. I should wear that one of these days.
You should, just because.
I should wear it next time I go to Cleveland, and people are like, who's that? I'm like, yeah, she's here.
Yeah.
In town.
It's Neil's mom. Yeah.
Yes, Neil's mom.
So. Yeah.
So what do you think's going to win this weekend? Do you think Funny People's going
to win? I think Funny People's going to win this weekend. I think the Judd Apatow draw, the Adam Sandler draw, the Seth Rogen draw, like you put those all together, and you've got yourself a win for the weekend. I don't think it's going to have a lot of legs. Per se,
I don't think. It's not going to pick up and go. Whatever it makes this weekend, it's going to be half of what it makes total. I think.
So, you know, so I think it could make 40 million, 45 million this weekend.
Ooh, that's bold.
It's a big one.
That's bold.
But I feel like it could do okay. Maybe lower, closer to the high 30s.
Yeah, I don't think Aliens in the Attic is going to have that big of an impact. Simply
yeah,
because
Aliens in the Attic, because no one knows it's coming out. The no Collector knows, is in
well, you also have
small
G-Force.
Release.
You also have G-Force from last week, which was the big kids movie, and so this one's sort of like a weaker of the 1-2 punch. Yeah. And then is the Collector in enough theaters to really make a difference?
No, it's only in 1,300 theaters. Like, I think it might crack the top 10.
Yeah, but I think you're going to be like 20 to 25 million top three. You know, it's going to be like, you know, you're going to have like. Funny People is going to be 25
to 30 million. I wouldn't
underestimate
Funny
tops.
People, though. I think Funny People will make a lot more money than you think. They're really, the advertising is strong. The buzz around the movie is pretty good.
You know what? I've heard just from regular people, not people in the industry, but I've heard people, for just regular people kind of going, because when I told them I was seeing it, they're like, is it any good? Because the trailers kind of suck. This is sort of the response I was getting from a lot of people. I'm like, no, pretty much the trailer's yeah.
I mean, overall,
accurate.
It's getting reviews. It's getting pretty good reviews. And
yeah, but you can't base something on reviews. G-Force got creamed in the reviews, and it did well. Same thing with Transformers.
That's true. However.
Yeah. However. this house of cards you're building, Neil Miller, is just completely shit. It's just falling apart.
It's a house of steel cards.
Okay, why would you have
steel
cards? Who plays cards with steel cards?
So that I give you the illusion that my house of cards can be blown away, and then it can't. That's just that's absurd.
Makes no sense. You are completely ridiculous at this point. Can we move on?
No.
You're making yourself sound
yes.
stupider.
Yes. Okay. Funny People's going to win the weekend. It's going to make $40 million.
Yeah, probably
Bam.
True.
Deal
maybe
with
40.
It.
It'll be lucky to get 40. It's Whatever. Not in 3D, and it doesn't have guinea pigs farting, so there you go.
Nice. I like the way you roll, Kevin Carr.
Thank you.
Moving on, it is time for The Fat Guy 5. Mm-hmm. And in Funny People, Adam Sandler plays a comedian.
Adam Sandler.
He plays
you know,
essentially Adam Sandler, yes.
One thing that's kind of good about Funny People is you get this look. How bad some of Adam Sandler movies are, you get a glimpse at what they could be.
right.
Because they have these fake Adam Sandler movies like Merman
that are hilarious.
That are so bad that you're like, if I had to watch this movie, I'd kill myself.
Yeah. So in the movie, he plays George Simmons, who started off doing stand up and made his jump into movies and had a very successful movie career. So we're doing our five favorite funny guys. And these are guys who started in stand-up and moved into film and have had successful careers both ways, with the exception of one of Kevin's picks.
I will fight you for this one.
But
he's apparently going to fight me for it. He's the best comedian on the planet. He just
So
he
we'll
just
start with time. We'll start with one of my all-time favorite people ever, Robin Williams. Ever seen Robin Williams stand-up, it's hysterical.
He doesn't do it much anymore.
He doesn't
does he?
Do it much, but I like if you want a good comedy DVD, go pick up his Live on Broadway DVD. It's
you
got
to get it when he was
awesome.
Like taking cocaine though, man, because that's his best.
Well, no,
stuff.
Like his, I mean his, yeah, some of his old, his older stuff is ridiculous.
He
but
was best. He was
most recently, his Live on Broadway show, which I think was done in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay. He may have cleaned up by then.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, he's funny, and he had some great stuff.
And obviously, he's had a very, very prolific career in film. Yeah. So, I mean, he's done some really great films.
You want me to do the next one on the list? These are no.
Yeah, no. This one order. You have to do because
I will do.
I don't necessarily know. Go.
You don't
go.
Even know who this guy is.
Just,
you don't
no,
even
I
know
who he is. He's very funny. He does a Hot Pockets joke.
Jim Gaffigan, man, and I'm saying this because he will make it big when they do the Pale Force movie with him and Conan O'Brien. That will be a huge monster hit. It's just Jim Gaffigan's the best comedian on the planet. He's awesome, and he's done TV, and he was in 17 Again. That made money. You know, he was in Away We Go.
You know,
that made money.
In fairness,
he was a murderer on like CSI or Law and Order.
In fairness, Jim Gaffigan has done a lot of movies. He's done a lot of small roles. Like he's very funny in Away We Go, which just came out a few weeks ago.
Hot
he's had his moments, and his stand-up is hysterical. So sure, he gets to be. He doesn't necessarily fall in line with the rest of these guys, in my opinion.
Should I put Steve Martin in this spot instead?
Steve Martin would be another person who would be a great one, who had a very successful career in movies and also in stand-up. Next up, though, Richard Pryor is... that you can't make this list without Richard Pryor.
Yes.
You know, his stand-up...
Well, you could.
You could. You'd just be wrong.
Okay.
And then, of course, my favorite movie, Toys.
Toys? With Robin Williams?
No. The Toy. Sorry.
The Toy.
The Toy with Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome
movie. What about Superman 3?
Or Superman 3.
Are we ending it there?
that's pretty much it. That's all you that's all you need to know about Richard Pryor.
The Toy and
Superman 3.
Okay. The next one on the list is Chris Farley. You could also put Jim Belushi on this list as well. Or John Belushi. Not Jim Belushi. Nobody cares about him. John Belushi.
Yeah, no, I mean,
because they had some similar careers. Well, no, but they were both kind of started in they have very similar careers. Started in stand-up comedy, went to Saturday Night Live, did very well in movies, died of a drug overdose.
Right. So Chris Farley / John Belushi.
And Michael Jackson.
And then of course, John Belushi totally belongs on this list.
You're right. We never think these things out very well. They're Fat Guy 5s and we just ramble around.
This is going to be a Fat Guy 12 by the time we're done with it.
I mean, we don't have enough time for that.
Okay. Adam Sandler's the last one because you can't deny Adam Sandler's stand-up in his youth was hysterical.
Did we get Jim Gaffigan on this list yet?
Yeah, we did earlier.
Okay.
Adam Sandler, absolutely hysterical. He's done some very funny movies, you know?
Yes.
Back in his early Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, those days. Even Mr. Deeds was good. And Big Daddy, Big Daddy, I think, is his second best performance behind funny people. So
Big Daddy's good.
So he's done some funny stuff.
50 First Dates is an awesome
50
movie,
First
man.
Dates wasn't bad. I mean, he's been funny.
50 First Dates is the reason a certain online website doesn't use my stuff anymore.
Nice.
It'll go unnamed, but it's a website that I got an email from the editor. It's like, yeah, you're way too mainstream for us.
Nice.
I liked 50 First Dates.
Nice. Whatever. They like Transformers, too.
I don't think they did.
No, they did. I saw it.
No,
and sure so don't. Adam Sandler definitely could be on this list. This list was kind of inspired by his character in Funny People. So there you go. What's our? Oh, I know you're gonna like this one. What's our honorable mention, Kevin?
Honorable mention is Eddie Murphy because he doesn't make the list because he did some awesome movies and then he went into the suck mode over the last 10 or 15 years. But Trading Spaces, 48 Hours, some Beverly Hills Cop, awesome.
Coming to America.
Yeah, Pedigree's great.
Awesome.
Just recent stuff sucks.
Oh, well. Time for a break.
All right.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Doo-doo.
Kevin's got sound effects for you.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about funny people and other funny people, and then how funny people is going to make money at the box office this weekend.
Yeah.
Now it is time, as always, for the world famous DVD roundup. And we'll start with me.
I'm not
like
even
we do.
Trying anymore.
No, that's awesome. Dude, your sound effects are almost like the stuff that I can create from scratch on my computer.
I got a call the other day from Paramount. They want me to do the sound effects for Transformers 3.
Oh, can you do the transforming sound?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Time to
round up some DVD.
Okay,
here's
the transforming sound effect.
Oh, God.
Doesn't that sound just like the movie?
No, I don't think that's how it sounds at all.
It's totally how it sounds.
Can we do some DVD picks now?
Yes, okay.
All right, so my picks, we got Dollhouse Season 1, which is a very good show. You should pick it up.
It's okay.
I just got it on Blu-ray, and I haven't had a chance to really dig into it.
The best part about it on
show.
Blu-ray, Elijah Dushku's breasts in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And legs.
Yeah. Also, This Is Spinal Tap came out on Blu-ray this week.
Hello, Cleveland!
Why you wouldn't buy that, I have no idea.
Awesome.
Like, there's
stuff
no reason
that.
For you to not buy that.
Yeah, Spinal Tap on Blu-ray is awesome. And you've got the other one, which actually is my best pick of the week, but I'm letting you have it since I have so many others.
Because I'm a super fan of Battlestar Galactica.
Who is the one who introduced you to this? Thank you very much. Who is the one who got you watching this?
Someone not named Kevin Carr.
Yes, it was totally named Kevin Carr. You were like, I'm not
watching
this.
All right, it might have been It might have been Kevin Carr.
I'm like, you have to watch this, and then you were like,
you know
all
what?
About
you
Cylons.
Can you can keep Stargate, and I get Battlestar Galactica.
I love Stargate.
You get BSG on weekends and holidays.
Whatever.
So, but BSG, the season 4.5 came out on Blu-ray and DVD, and the complete series box set with the Cylon figure in it came out on DVD and Blu-ray. Very sad that I didn't get the Blu-ray edition of the complete series. That would have been very cool to have. But I have the whole series now.
I don't think they're sending that one out.
No, I don't think anyone's going to send that one to anyone.
Yeah. So, yeah. BSG. Let's look at like something like 10 hours of extra footage, which is all like David Icke's video diaries and behind the scenes and commentaries. And there's almost more special
Plus,
features.
In addition to all the special features, it's got this really awesome show called Battlestar Galactica on it.
Well, but what's so funny is the special features, I think, clock in with more time than the actual series itself.
Which is awesome.
Because there's only like 10 or 12 episodes in that half season.
Right.
So, my turn. I'm going to start off with one that's an older one. It's like a week old, but I just have to mention it because it's kind of worth checking out, is The Mighty Boosh. Have you ever seen The Mighty Boosh?
No, I haven't, but I saw you tweeting about it.
Oh my God, Mighty Boosh.
Like, I have to check out this Boosh.
It's three seasons. It's a BBC show, so that's like four episodes. But it's three seasons on DVD. And the best way to describe the Mighty Boosh is it's like a preschool kids program. Like, you've ever watched like the Newsoo Review or, you know, Barney or something like that? It's like that, only it's made for adults. It's about these guys who work in a zoo, and they have like songs and they have wacky adventures, but then they have like drug references. So it's like not for kids, but it's completely made like it's for kids, but it's for adults, and it's completely off the wall and hilarious.
Yeah. So
if you get a shot, check out The Mighty Boosh, volumes 1, 2, and 3 from the BBC. There's also from the BBC, Torchwood and Doctor Who each have specials out there, like sort of like mini series within a series, like three or four episodes, story arcs. And Torchwood has one out, and Doctor Who has one out this week. There's also, you know, for the superhero fans, Green Lantern First Flight on Blu-ray and DVD, which is from DC Comics animated Green Lantern movie to whet your appetite before Ryan Reynolds dons the green and black spandex, which I don't know. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. And then two Blu-ray releases. You've got
You don't like the thought of Ryan Reynolds in spandex?
That just bothers
me. What's wrong with you, man? Are you from another country?
Okay. Well, yeah, because the Taiwanese hate Ryan Reynolds in
Seriously,
spandex.
It's un-American.
Whatever. Oh, you're weird. Anyways, there's 12 Monkeys on Blu-ray this week as well. That's an awesome movie. Terry Gilliam. And Bruce Willis, not being Bruce Willis. And then Fast and Furious, not that it's a great movie, but it's on Blu-ray and you get to see a
short
film. You
know what, there's some, Fast and Furious like really sucks until this one chase scene, and it's really awesome for like 5 minutes, and then it really sucks again. So it's almost worth watching.
It's an okay movie. It's not great, but I mean, it's if you've seen the other three, it's pretty much lots of cars. And it's got Jordana Brewster in it, and she's totally hot, so... They could have been more generous with her. Could have put her in a bikini through the whole movie. But they decided to put Vin Diesel in a bikini through the whole movie instead.
Right.
And the stinker of the week, Miss March. It's on Blu-ray. It's on DVD. It's in unrated. And sure, there's more breasts in it. But it's Miss March. It wasn't that good of a movie. Although, if you want to get it, we still have a contest going on Film School Rejects and Fat Guys at the Movies. Caption contest. You can go check that out. And maybe win a copy on DVD.
Yeah.
Since I just
built
it
up. Good for you, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, time to review, wrap up the reviews, whatever we do at this part of the show. No. We'll start with Funny People, which I said kind of rocks.
I said kind of rocks, too.
And then neither one of us saw Aliens in the Attic or The Collector. The Collector might be worth the risk, but we cannot verify. And next week, we've got G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. The review, we'll have Julie and Julia and A Perfect Getaway, which actually looks kind of fun.
Well, Steve's
in the meantime,
on, dude.
Steve's on. It's awesome. Don't you dare.
Steve's on to play Hamlet. He's awesome.
He should. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Twitter. If you really need to know where to get a hold of us, just rewind the show back to the first like 2 minutes, and I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, you're right. We'll be right back.
on fire. It's wet and it's gay and it's on fire. Thank you, Patton Oswalt.